Committee on Government Efficiency to order. And committee, we're not necessarily going to take things in the order that you see them on the agenda. We are going to start off with SCR2. And so, Matt, if you would give us a rundown of this, please. Oh, wait, I got to open the public hearing on SCR2. Now you can give us a rundown.
Got it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, Senate Concurrent Resolution 2 memorializes former state representative and United States Senator Maureen Brown Newberg.
Okay. And Senator Trow, it's nice to have you here.
Well, thank you, Senator, or Representative, excuse me. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's good to see all of the members of this committee. 50 years ago in the 1951 session, Maureen Newberg was elected as a representative, and she joined 59 men in the House of Representatives. Her husband was a member of the state Senate. She was the first member of a couple, basically, to serve in state legislatures, I think anywhere. But that was a different precedent that was established 50 years ago. She went on to be the third woman elected to the United States Senate. Her husband had been a senator. He died. She ran in his place and was elected senator. Most other women who had been senators at that time, and only a couple of them, had been appointed first. She was not appointed first. She was elected. She served one six-year term in the United States Senate. She was a gallant lady, this memorial honors her. She died after 94 years, and she died just about a year ago. So it's appropriate that we do this memorial to her. It's past the Senate. It's over here on the House side, and I hope that you will move it right along and pass this memorial to honor a great woman who had a great record for the state of Oregon.
Great. Thank you, Senator. Are there any questions for Senator Trow?
For the record, Mr. Chairman, the Senate vote was 29-0.
Thank
you. We didn't include the Senate votes in your packets today, I'm sorry, so I will make you aware of what those votes meant.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator,
Thank you very much
for being here.
Senator, appreciate it.
A whole lot.
Is there anyone else that wishes to testify on SCR2? And with that, I will close the public hearing on SCR2. I'm going to open a work session on SCR2.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Cruz.
I move SCR2 to the House floor to be passed recommendation.
Representative Cruz moves SCR2 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Representative March? Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had the opportunity of meeting Maureen Newberger in Washington County. She was a fixture the Washington County Democrats still honor her with the Newberger dinner, and she was a grand lady, and both she and her husband served Oregon well, and I think this is a proper and fitting memorial.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative Beck.
Just note that Ms. Newberger was a constituent of mine in my neighborhood, and I knocked on her door 4 years ago. She wasn't home. Sent me a nice note, and I've heard many, many stories about her from a lot of my old family friends who knew her well, and so I'm honored to have this before us today.
Great. Any other comments? Questions?
No.
Okay. Let's see. Clerk, call the roll, please.
Representative Beck?
Aye.
Representative Brown?
Aye.
Representative Gerard? Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative
Cruz? Aye.
Representative March?
Aye.
Representative Smith? Aye.
Representative
Hi. SCR2, having received the required number of votes, is passed to the floor with a. Did you say with a due pass recommendation?
Yeah.
Thank you. I have had a request from Representative Worth to carry the bill. So if there's.
Could I recommend that Representative Worth and Tomei co-carry the bill?
Yes, you can make that recommendation. Do you have a... Is that all right with you, Representative?
Sure, absolutely.
And that's all right with you, Representative?
Sure.
Okay, Representative Worth and Tomei will be co-carriers of the bill.
Great, thank you.
And with that, I will close the work session on SCR 2. And we're going to move right along now to HJM 3. SJM 3. And so I'm going to open a public hearing on SJM 3. And Matt, if you would give us a rundown on it, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Joint Memorial 3 urges the United States Secretary of the Interior, the United States Board on Geographic Names, and the Oregon Geographic Names Board to remove the term squaw from names of geographic places in the state of Oregon.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. We have a few people that would like to testify on this, and let me also... let you know, committee, there's a companion bill that we are borrowing. It will be here Thursday that we are borrowing from Rules and Redistricting Committee, and we will hear it on Thursday. And on Thursday, when we hear that bill, we will also bring this bill back for anybody else that's not here today that would want to testify. So with that, let me ask Colleen Roba, is that correct, to come forward, please? And now, is there a group of you that would like to come up? Because if you'd like to, that's fine. Go ahead and you can all come up at once. When you speak, if you would, just make sure that you state your name for the record, and you can go ahead and go in whatever order you would like to go.
Good morning, Chairman Cromwell and members of the Government Efficiency Committee. My name is Colleen Roba, and I live in Warm Springs, Oregon, reservation. And I am Wasco and Warm Springs Senate. I came here to testify for Senate Joint Memorial 3 and urge you to pass this bill. It's very important to Indian people and all Indian women because it removes an insult that should never have been done. And so yeah, I've been working on this project since 1997 with the federal. Also, I wrote to the United States Geographical person over there, Richard, I can't remember his name. And also working with Roseanne Westenkoff with the Willamette National Forest, and she's the American Indian Program Manager.
Go ahead.
Chairman Cromwell and committee members, I have asked my husband to be here with me today, Fred Walulatam. He's a leader of the Simnashua Longhouse, to help me with a song, a prayer song of our tribe. Hey. dear people, I have asked my husband to be here with me today because I find this very hard to come to you and ask you as a people to help to remove this word. You as government representatives can do something very great for our people, for our women folk, to remove this word. I think when you hear that word squaw, that it, when you hear it, it doesn't mean black person, oriental, or white. When you hear that word, you know it's an Indian and a female. And it is offensive. And we have seen this word many times in Oregon on some of our most sacred areas, on islands, creeks, and I heard mountains. And for me to be here today, I have to go back in time as a child of name calling, and that hurts. It hurts to talk about something that you hide for so long. But we would like this name removed. And again, I said that you would be doing something really wonderful. You have that power to do that. I think of my grandchild, somebody that's very young and pure, and growing up in her lifetime, if she could open up that geographical map of Oregon and not to see that word squaw, that would be really wonderful to me and for all of our people, not just my grandchild, but for all the grandchildren, all the people of the newborn generation coming. And as a woman, many times women are put down. And this is a chance to help to make us equal. A lot of time has passed. As a child, I experienced a lot of prejudice. But now it isn't as much. And I feel that at this time, that you could find it in your heart to take that and remove that offensive word and to make us feel better and put a smile on our people, the women folk. And our men support us too. We have to have the men as equals. In our tribes, they go out to get the fish, the salmon, the deer. And our women folk, we go out to get the roots, the berries. And I'm dressed in my native clothes to show you that I have pride to be an Indian. I have a lot of pride. And I pray for all of you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Ms. Maitski, Chairman Como, and the rest of the committee, I'm very pleased to be here this morning for what we feel is a very important issue, the Senate Joint Memorial number 3, and I would like to urge the consideration of passing the bill in that the word squaw is really an offensive and derogatory term, and that it has become a stereotypical name for Indian women that want to be, that are, it's a demeaning word for us as Indian women when you hear it. And I know that for some people, their lack of knowledge and understanding of what that word really means makes it seem to be okay, but to us as Indian women, it is not okay. In our language, we call our women Wapsini and our Ayat, Wapsini being the purest form of a woman, and that those do not represent what the squam word means, and that those don't even sound near close to that word. So I urge you today to listen closely to what the other two ladies have said and to what I'm trying to say to you, and urge you to consider passing the bill. I really am pleased to be here today and feel that the bill is very important to us as Indian people. That word was brought this way from back east, from another tribe, and the meaning of it is not a very nice thing. And so we'd like, as Native people, to be recognized as different tribes with different languages and with different lifestyles, different cultures, different ways of living, and that we are individuals and that these stereotype words are not need to be starting to be changed so that we can be individually recognized as tribes. We each have our different languages, and it speaks very highly of our women. In my time of working with our languages, I do not know of a word that is used that derogatorily or puts down our women because of them being very important to continue in our lives, the women in our tribe. So I urge you to consider passing the bill and to carry with you the responsibility that is upon yourself today. So with that, I want to thank you all for allowing me to speak.
Thank you. Could you state your name for the record,
please? Oh, I'm sorry. My name's Myra Shalloway, and I'm from the Palm Springs Confederated Tribe of Oregon.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Beck?
Question. Will the tribes work with the geographic names people to provide, or is there talk of providing native names to these landmarks? Or is there everybody?
Yes, we have with Roseanne. We've been working with her to the federal so far.
We've also been working with elders of the tribe to possibly reconsider and think about names to rename some of these areas.
Mr. Chair, is there an inventory now of every squaw,
Ute
and Creek and Mountain and Oregon? I know of a few.
Yes, he's got a copy.
You've got a list.
Well, there's a list of the names. I mean, the squaws, the escort and there's on the, I called the geographical board, and they sent me
a list?
Yes, and there's 173 in Oregon.
173 in Oregon. Wow. Well, I hope you can.
And we're trying to work with each tribe in the area.
It'd be great to add some more native names if it's appropriate to each region. You know, of a Squaw Creek on the coast, and obviously in Deschutes and Jefferson County, the Squaw Creek comes off the Sisters. It'd be great to get some native names back on the, or on, not back, but onto the book. Thanks for coming.
Representative Gerard?
Just following up on Representative Beck's comments, I would hope that as you go and look around the state at name changes, that you would involve the various tribes locally and consult with them as to what might be appropriate name changes. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much, ladies, for coming forward. We really appreciate it. I see Senator Brown is there. Senator, did you want to come up and speak? I didn't see you there earlier. I hope I didn't miss you.
Mr. Chair, no. Thank you. I just came in a few minutes ago. For the record, State Senator Kate Brown, I represent Senate District 7. And I thank you for the opportunity to be here today on behalf of Senate Joint Memorial 3. I think you are all aware of what it does. You should know that we do need an amendment to the bill, which my understanding will be ready for the hearing on Thursday. That would include the Secretary of Agricultural agriculture in the memorial so that it would include all the BLM lands as well as Forest Service lands, or Forest Service lands as well as BLM lands. So we want to make sure that we cover all of our bases. And you also may be aware, Mr. Chair, you've been very gracious in addressing this issue, but there is a companion bill dealing with this issue, Senate Bill 488, that was sent to another committee. My understanding is that it's going to be borrowed for another hearing on Thursday, so we'll be back in front of you again. But I'm not asking the tribal members to come back over on Thursday, if that's okay. So. I would be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Okay. Any questions for Senator Brin?
Is there going to be a fiscal problem with this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beck, in terms of the Senate Joint Memorial 3, there is no fiscal impact because it addresses federal government issues and there would be no fiscal on the state. Senate Bill 488, the companion bill, we have an amendment to delay, give people the opportunity to participate in the new name change process. So it would be scheduled to take effect in 2005. There would be no fiscal impact under those circumstances because the maps, the street signs, and everything would change during that time frame in any event. So
transitional
time period. Yes. And we felt like it was very important to have not only the local tribes participate in the new naming process, but also the local community so that we can capture local history and local events. So, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Any other questions? I do have one question, Senator, kind of following up on what Representative Beck was asking with regards to what about people that are there any known addresses that people have that, you know, like, you know, Senator Brown, you know, that whatever.
Mr. Chair, there are folks who I believe there's a road in Estacada called Squaw Butte Road. And we did actually have someone come testify in opposition to the bill because of the expense that he would incur in terms of changing his stationery. For private facilities that do have the word squaw in their name, the bill does not require them to change their names. For those living on a street, yes, within the four-year period, they would incur the expense of changing their stationery over that period of time. What I suggested to the business owner was that he not have any new stationery printed and that he use up his current stationery, and then when he has new stationery printed, hopefully they'll have a new name for the road. And I do understand it's an expense and a hassle, but I think it's a really important statement for us to make, and I think it's real important in terms of our relationship with the tribes.
So from a standpoint of, as you mentioned, the transitioning, I mean, that really does take away any argument that local businesses might have with regard, because they'd be able to transition over as far as getting stationery business cards, all of that kind of stuff printed at whenever they would go to print anyway.
Correct, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, we at the Capitol had to go through that. I think they changed our zip code this last year, and so, and I assume some of you have the same address changing issues that I have. I simply use up my stationery on the old address and then start using the new ones when the old stuff runs out. So, trying to be the fiscal conservative that I am, Mr. Chair.
Sure. We went through a name change in Portland probably 10 years ago, changing Union Avenue, which was basically a state highway, affecting hundreds of businesses and residences. And as expected, there was the typical moaning, whining, but we got through it. Time has passed. I don't think anybody calls it Union Avenue anymore, and it's now Martin Luther King or MLK, and we survived. And that name change probably will have affected more people than this name change will around the state. So it can be done. It has been done, and everybody's alive and happy.
And it's still being done, actually. NATO Parkway was
NATO Parkway.
So.
on Avenue?
It's something that it does too. You've got a period of time to transition.
And there was a transition for that,
yeah.
Wasn't
yeah.
it? Yes. Representative Smith?
You should live on the historic Columbia River Highway. They've changed it at least 3 times in the last. Holy
well, cow. Let's try for 4.
Don't go there.
Let's not. That's not under the purview of this bill. And so, anyway. Senator, thank you very much
for
coming forward.
Thanks.
And as I mentioned, Senator, we will have, when we get the bill from the other committee on Thursday. I will also reopen a hearing on this memorial so that if there's anybody at that time, anybody else that wants to come in and testify, they certainly can.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify today on Senate Joint Memorial 3? Seeing none, then I'll close the public hearing on SJM 3, and we will bring it back. Okay, so now, committee, we are going to go to House Bill 2656. So I'll open a work session on 2656. Matt, why don't you give us a little rundown on, would you rather I have Representative Cruz do that?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 2656 has had a hearing in this committee before. It requires state agencies to report to legislative committees when the agency makes any changes in legislatively approved positions or budgets. For the record, there was a meeting between fiscal and legislative council and the Department of Administrative Services with Representative Cruz, and I'll let Representative Cruz speak to this, but I believe that we have reached a compromise on an amendment that would clarify the bill to the representative's satisfaction. Representative Cruz.
Representative Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good bill should pass. what we did in the amendment, which is basically a rewrite, we tried to address the concerns the committee had as far as, and the biggest concern seemed to be the term any change. And so we went to a substantive change, and then DAS is going to, in conjunction with LFO, look at how that is defined in rule. But basically, this still gets us to where we wanted to go, and that was for the state agencies to have a level of accountability to where if they are making any program changes, that they come before the appropriate legislative committee and inform them of the change. The substantive part will keep them from having to come in just because they're taking somebody from a clerk 3 to a clerk 4 and having to come in and do something like that, or if they, you know, or if, for example, they have a position that is supposed to be filled on a date certain and it's still unfilled for 3 or 4 months, something like that. It allows them to do that and not have to come back and explain why they didn't fill it on the date they were supposed to. So what we didn't want to do is get into a whole lot of bureaucracy where every time they had to dot an I or uncross a T, they had to come and report to us. But what this will allow us to get at is if they are making real changes, if we allocated $10 million for this program and they decide that they want to spend the $10 million over here, they're going to have to come and tell us. And trust me, this does happen on a regular basis inside state government. We know that, and I could probably fill up a full 2-hour committee very easily with anecdotal stories about how this is done, or how it's been done in the past. So this is a very real problem. This bill does not change the world as we know it, but I think it's a step in the right direction towards more accountability in government. And I should also point out that currently, if a city makes a 10% change in their budget, they have to have full public hearing. You know, counties have to do the same thing. So to a degree, what we're asking of state government is what they are currently requiring of lower levels of government now. And with that, DAS, LFO, LC, they were all there. We have all agreed on the amendments. I think this is this is a good fix to have better definition, and I think we're ready to move the bill.
Okay, thank you. Darren, did you want to say anything or need to say anything with regards to the bill? Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Representative Cruz?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Beck?
Just more comment, and appreciate the good representative bringing these changed amendments. I'm still probably going to vote no until I have some documentation of what the problem really is, whether it's those 2 hours of anecdotes or half a dozen letters from citizens or even legislators telling me, you know, I'm not active in the budget process, and I know the good representative from Roseburg is and is more involved with these things in the interim than I have been. So maybe he's more aware of problems, but I just, again, as a sort of a process concern, I just don't see the case having been made here for this, even though I think the changes you're asking for are somewhat benign and good-natured. It just seems like we're creating work that's not necessary, and you know, I could be convinced otherwise. Maybe between now and the floor debate, if we get some letters in the file that articulate ongoing problems and abuses by agencies in this regard, that would be helpful.
Could we have Mary Botkin come up for just a minute?
Sure.
She may be able to
enlighten me.
Enlighten.
Yes,
I
saw Ms. Botkin sitting on the edge of her seat there and was actually going to regress for a moment here and invite her to come up. Even though we're not in a public hearing, we're still in a work session.
Regress, not digress.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Members of the committee, for the record, I'm Mary Botkin, and I'm here this morning for AFSCME Council 75. And I have represented state government and local government for almost 20 years in this building. And Representative Cruz is right. We could fill up days with anecdotal testimony. Probably the most startling thing that we've had happened in last year, where we had a legislatively approved budget for the Department of Corrections. At the very end of the year, something occurred that we still have not had explained to us. What was told to me was it was $10 million in extraordinary inmate health care costs. But what happened was that in an effort to internally balance the budget for the department, they eliminated corrections education at our largest facility in Snake River in Ontario, Oregon. That resulted in the elimination of a contract with Treasure Valley Community College. That resulted in the layoff of 40-some-odd families in corrections education in Ontario. Now, for those of you who live in Portland, 40 families losing their job isn't a big deal. If you live in an area like Ontario, Oregon, this is a death knell for them. There are not a lot of economic opportunities. There are not a lot of family wage jobs available in Ontario, Oregon. And for 40 people to lose their jobs is very, very dramatic. Now, having said that, there were no public hearings. Those individuals were laid off January 31st on a budget that had been approved through July. We don't know to this day if there were any other alternatives or if there are any other solutions to simply eliminating the program and laying off those workers. There just was no opportunity for those folks to have any input into the process. I think Representative Cruz's bill does not change what may have been the outcome, but it does change the process by which the outcome was reached. And, you know, in looking at the department's budget, I cannot sit here in good conscience and say we would have done something different. But I do think that people had a right to know, what does it mean when you have catastrophic inmate health care costs? You know, as their representative, I want to know. You know, did we have 3 heart transplants? I mean, what does that mean? And we don't know to this day what that meant. So, and I think that would have been handled in a public hearing process. And that was my only concern with Bill, was that there was going to be some kind of a public hearing process as those decisions are made. And I think that this bill is long overdue. And we could, I mean, we could go through whether or not it's 100 troopers at the state police or whatever. People make a lot of unilateral decisions that countermand or contradict things that you as elected officials in this body have already determined and set policy on. And, you know, I just think this is a good idea to hold them accountable, to give everybody an opportunity to come in and talk about other alternatives that could be pursued. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Ms. Button?
Sure.
Representative Beck?
Did you document some of that in the
yep.
floor letter for us?
I absolutely. I'll even give you copies of the layoff list.
and then they wonder why I don't trust them.
Oh, geez. Mr. Chair, and then they wonder why I don't trust them.
Thank you, Mary.
Makes you scared that you and I both agree, huh?
It is a scary thought, Mary.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Cruz.
While we're having discussion, I'll move the -1 amendment to 2656.
Thank you. Representative Cruz moves the -1 amendments to House Bill 2656. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections?
Okay.
Seeing none, the -1 amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2656 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Cruz moves House Bill 2656 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Let's see. Clerk, call the roll, please.
Representative Beck?
No.
Representative Brown?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative Cruz?
Aye.
Representative March?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Tomei?
Excused.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Chair Crowell?
Aye.
House Bill 2656 is amended, having received the required majority, is declared passed. Representative Cruz, would you like to carry this, please? Thank you very much. With that, I will close the work session on House Bill 2656. And let's see. Great. Let's see. We have then Senate Bill 489. I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 489. And Senator Duncan, if you would like to come forward, please. And while he is, Matt, maybe you could give us a rundown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, Senate Bill 489 creates the Oregon State Capital Foundation as a separate agency within the Liquor Department.
Senator, whenever you're ready, please.
Well, good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. It's delightful to be with you folks this morning. Senate Bill 489 is really a kind of a cleanup, and it takes care of some legal concerns we had. If you recall, some of you who were before, the Capital Foundation was established several sessions ago, and we now have the foundation members on board. The goal of this foundation is to really the embellishment and the enhancement of the Capitol building itself. Many of you visited capitals across the country, and there are some exciting things happening. And there are things that go beyond general maintenance that need to be done. And so by establishing a foundation, it gives people an opportunity to contribute to that foundation so we can do some exciting things around the Capitol building that we would ordinarily do with state funds. In order to do that so that we could work it, so we could accept monies, and to work, we had to redefine some things in the bill, and this really cleans it up so that we can accept the funds. The Legislative Administration Committee is in charge of those funds. So, I mean, the foundation is there, but the Legislative Administration Committee really has a final control over everything. And actually, this passed the Senate Everybody was excited about it, and we're glad it's over in the House now. We would ask the support of this committee. We're happy to answer any questions. Dave Henderson, who is the administrator for Legislative Administration, is with us today. Between the two of us, I think we can answer most questions you might have. We think this is an exciting project, and we hope down the years you're going to see some exciting things down the Capitol. And, of course, you know, we're looking to former legislators, you know, as you put your will together and things like that, your fond memories of your days in the Capitol, you may want to give it to this.
Life savings
yesterday. Yeah, yes, anyone who has any savings left after yesterday.
Does that mean that they will archive our memoirs as well?
Oh, your memoirs are going to be archived.
But I'm afraid.
This moment will be archived, even, Mr. Chair.
Ooh, scary.
Think about that.
Okay. Representative Hill.
I serve on committees with Representative Hill. I'm expecting the worst now.
Well, no, since it was offered that they could answer any question, I was just curious, you know, when we were going to get some couches in our offices that you could actually have a senior citizen sit down on. so they don't break the hip.
Mr. Chair, we have to really determine whether is that general maintenance and upkeep of the Capitol, or is that enhancement and embellishment. I certainly understand what you're saying. Maybe Mr. Henderson would love to respond to that. Kind of.
Thank you for that opportunity, Senator. Mr. Chair, Representative Hill, for the record, I'm Dave Henderson, the Legislative Administrator. I believe that the timing of getting those sofas may be dependent on the success of this measure.
Mr. Chair, it did dawn on me. I did fail to introduce myself. I'm Senator Vern Duncan from Senate District Number 12.
Thank you, Senator. I think it's actually, we don't want the senior citizens to dislocate their new hips as they get up.
Right. Mr. Chair, if Alexander's mother would like to have me run through this whole presentation again, I would be happy to.
We'll let her watch it on. Did you have any other statement to make?
Mr. Chair, I'm here to answer any questions that anyone on the committee may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions for either Dave Henderson or for Senator Duncan? Should I say any other questions? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for bringing this forward.
Mr. Chair.
What I'd like to find out, I don't have a list. Is there anyone else that wants to testify? We do have a written statement.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Norm Smith, who is a former member of the legislature, is a member of our foundation board, and I believe he has submitted a written statement.
Yes, we do have a written testimony here from him.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Phil?
In his statement, he makes a reference to an amendment. Has that already been incorporated, or are we going to?
Mr. Chair, I could address that.
Please do.
On the measure on page 2, line 34, the current language says a majority of the members of the foundation constitutes a quorum for transaction of business. And we consulted with legislative counsel and believe that it should read that a majority of the voting members of the foundation constitutes a quorum for the transaction of business. I believe you have that before you as a dash one amendment.
You know,
I'm working on that for you for the committee right now, just so you can all see it. It basically is one line, adding the word voting in there. That I would have copies in front of you all in a matter of seconds. I'm sorry it wasn't in the pack.
I might explain, Mr. Chair, that and for members of the committee, what prompted that was that the foundation has added an honorary member and they've added an ex officio member in the facilities manager for the Capitol, and we wanted to make it clear that the members who are appointed by Legislative Administration Committee have the authority to make the decisions, not members who are added by the foundation itself.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, just might add, too, the members of the foundation are... some are current members of the legislative body. Some are former members. We have retired lobbyists who are very much involved, and you know they've spent years in this field, even have a real devotion to it. And just some citizens. Senator Debs Potts is our honorary member, and in fact, we will be having quite a gala event here on the 25th of April, and I think he'll be the honorary chair of that particular thing. So it's a great group of people. I get to chair it, and it's a challenge to chair that kind of a group.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Hill.
Well, having actually read the statement here, the amendments don't address what he mentions here. He's talking about changing the mission statement. So is there... it's something the community unanimously agreed to seek changes permitting our growth and development. Pending draft for our new mission statement reads. And he has a...
Mr. Chair, if I might just comment, I think this is a, with our own policy guideline, we're working on our own mission statement. And we're trying to determine exactly, you know, we're walking that fine line between what is enhancement and what is maintenance. And, you know, for example, would new couches fall into that category or new carpeting and so forth? I think basically... Yeah, come to the Senate. We have orange over there, but
I like orange better than green. So.
Well, you have to be older to be over there, Representative Cruz. Senator Deckert kind of violates that, but we're working on that mission statement right now. How far we want to go, but I think that'll be within our own policy manual.
I'm ready, Mr. Chair.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And now that we have the Dacklins in front of us, is there anyone else who wishes to testify? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 489. I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 489.
Chair, I move the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 489.
Okay, Representative Cruz, thank you. Representative Cruz moves the -1 amendments to Senate Bill 489. Are there any, is there any discussion? Are there any objections? -1 amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 489 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Cruz moves Senate Bill 489 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
I don't know if I should declare a potential conflict of interest, since, you know, after this session I will be a former member that will, you know, keep the history of me being here.
You will be an institution.
The only conflict, Representative, is if you think you'll make any money at it, which I would doubt. Is there any other comments or questions or comments? Okay. Seeing none, clerk will call the roll. Senate Bill 489, having received the constitutional majority required, is declared passed. And who would like to carry this bill?
Thank you, Ron.
I'd be happy to.
Representative Beck? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Senator. Representative Beck will be the carrier of this bill. And let's see. With that, we will close the work session on Senate Bill 489. And since we don't have anything else before us, we will stand adjourned.